Well, I always notice a pattern with young families, parents with young children. When the children get out of the blob stage and they start to develop their personality and they learn new words or new things, and parents always in the foyer want to show that off. And I'll come up and they'll say, "Say this," or "Do this." And the child stares blankly and bores a hole in your head and does nothing. But then, as soon as the opening prayer starts, can't get them to be quiet. But that's the lifelong struggle, isn't it? To discern time to speak and time to be silent. And so the scriptures spend a lot of time warning us about the power and the danger of our speech. And so we think of Proverbs, where Solomon in his wisdom will say things like, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." But if I were to ask you tonight for a concentrated passage and the most expansive look at the tongue, you would, of course, say James chapter 3. And the first 12 verses are what I'd like for us to read together tonight to begin our lesson. James chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. James 3 and verse 1, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh." Now, the fact that James begins this section by saying, "Let not many of you be teachers," some have said that everything he says in this passage is for teachers particularly. But notice that in the very next sentence he says, "For we all stumble in many ways." And so his point is, if words and speaking bring judgment upon us because we're accountable for our words, then the teacher who by nature speaks more than another is going to have more words to be accountable for. And when he says we all stumble in this, remember it was James, the brother of the Lord, who was likely among Jesus' family in Mark 3, who said about the Lord, he's lost his mind. Don't you know he wished he could take those words back? Why is it that there are so many warnings in the scriptures about our speech? And why in this epistle, which many see as the Proverbs of the New Testament, very similar to the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, why would James, who introduced this topic back in chapter 1 and verse 26, why would he now spend this whole section talking about the dangers of the tongue? Well, I want to ask you, has there ever been an instance in your life where you thought, I wish I hadn't said that? Or, I wish I had said that differently? Has there been a memory in your life of something somebody said to you, maybe even in your childhood, and you were just never able to forget that? That's why there's trouble with the tongue. And James is able to take all those things that are said in the scriptures and illustrate that in these 12 verses of chapter 3. Why is there so much trouble with the tongue? Well, first of all, there's no self-control if you don't control your tongue. James says, look at it again, if anyone in verse 2 does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So the word bridle here means to hold or to keep in check. And so if you can control your tongue, James says, you can keep your whole body in check. And he uses two illustrations to make his point. One is a bit that is put in the mouth of a horse. And notice again, it's in the mouth. And with that small bit, you are able to control a powerful animal. And you can make him go right or left. You can make him stop or run. All because you're controlling what is put into his mouth. And then he says, consider the rudder of a ship. And just think about how large ships were in the first century. There's an instance where Paul, when he's on his way to Rome, is on a ship that's carrying 276 people. This isn't just a little fishing boat. But this mighty ship that passes through the sea and goes through the storms and has the wind and the waves is able to be controlled by the small rudder, which in this culture would have been like a little oar you would use. And so it is, James said, with this small member of your body, your tongue, you're able to bring the whole body into control. There's no self-control if you can't control your tongue. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when somebody says, oh, I didn't mean to say that, or it just slipped out, slips out because you first put it into your heart. And you put it into your mind. And you didn't control your tongue. Think of it. You say, well, I want to control my temper. I want to keep from flying off the handle. Well, then you control your tongue. And you keep yourself from saying something that's just going to escalate. Or are you someone who always has to get the last word in? Doesn't matter what the argument is, but you've got to say the last word. You just can't let it go. There's no self-control without controlling the tongue. That's why there's so much tongue trouble. Or think about this. Deciding not to say something suggestive or inappropriate to a member of the opposite sex that would then cause that relationship to escalate. No, I'm going to control my tongue. And one of the ways that becomes so dangerous today is that we can speak without literally saying words. We post things, or we text things, or we hide behind a keyboard and spread things. And all that does is show we're out of control. We didn't wait. We couldn't just let things simmer down. There's no self-control if you don't control your tongue. When you're able to bridle your tongue, James said, you can control the whole body. And everything you do and everywhere you go can be steered by such a small member of your body. Don't overlook or underestimate the power of the tongue. He continues that there is trouble with the tongue because, number two, words can blow up in your face. And that's why he describes this like a fire. We had a couple here several years ago. They're no longer members here. But they were having issues in the home where things were becoming a danger. And so one Sunday night after services, Neil Ashworth and I went over there. I was Neil's protection. And so we went to this house, and boy, I'd never seen people like this, much less Christians. And we finally got things settled down, and everything was calm, and I thought, well, we're doing some good. And one of them just said the smallest thing, unnecessary but calculated, and it was like the whole house set aflame again. And it was just worse than when we got there. But that's the power of the tongue. Words you say can blow up in your face. A fire. Look at it again. So also the tongue, verse 5, is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. So just like a small rudder and a small bit, so a little kindling can set ablaze a whole forest. It spreads quickly. That's the way gossip is. It catches on. And it's easy to repeat. And just think about how many ways we can communicate now and how easy it is to forward things. And it spreads like fire. And then we find out, oh, well, that wasn't true. I shouldn't have told somebody that. And so I'll go correct it and say that wasn't right. What are you going to do about the person they told, the person they told, and the person they told? You see how great a fire now has been kindled and blown up in your face. David said in Psalm 15 in verse 3, one of the characteristics of the one who comes into the presence of God and dwells on his holy hill in Psalm 15:3, one of the characteristics is he does not take up a reproach against a friend. It's one thing not to repeat a matter or spread a matter. David said, don't even pick it up. Somebody starts telling you, I don't need to hear this. That doesn't have anything to do with me. You shouldn't be telling it either. His words blow up like fire. Like fire, not only do words spread, but they're very difficult to extinguish. Once they get going, it's hard to put it out. Could that be why James said in chapter 1 and verse 19, let every man be slow to speak? Why? Because once you say it, you can't take it back. Little boy was having a problem with his temper. And his dad said, well, we'll fix this. Gave him a hammer and a bucket of nails. And said, every time you think about losing your temper, you go drive a nail into the fence in the backyard. And he did that. Went through the whole bucket. But he said, Daddy, I'm doing better. And he said, well, now when you think about losing your temper, go take out all those nails. And he did that. The bucket was full again. His dad took him in the backyard and said, now, son, all the nails are gone, but each scar is still in the fence. And that's what happens when you get angry and you say things. You can take them back. You can apologize. But you're going to leave the scar behind. Words blow up at you like that. Let every man be slow to speak, lest we start a fire that we can't put out. And a fire causes damage that is irreversible. Think of the smoke smell and the charring of a home that's been damaged by fire. But the trouble with the tongue is, think about how many lives have been permanently damaged by words misspoke. How does it go? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but Linda McCartney said, but words can break my heart. You see, you take a word and use it as a weapon, and it becomes a sword. Not only do we hurt other people, we end up hurting ourselves. We damage our reputation. That which took years to build is brought down by a careless word. And especially when Jesus said, every careless word that you speak, you'll give an account for it on the day of judgment. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. The trouble with the tongue, words blow up in your face. And like a fire that is spread and not easily extinguished, the damage is irreversible. Be careful. Be slow to speak. The trouble with the tongue, James says, number three, is you can talk out of both sides of your mouth. Blessing and cursing. Good and evil coming from the same mouth. Look at verse 7. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. The word that James uses here for tames is the word dominate or have dominion. And we might think of an animal that's been domesticated. Animals that by creation are given a fear of man now become so comfortable that they live in our homes with us. They've been tamed. Remember the last time Coy and Paige and Cannon and Kennedy were over, Kennedy developed a fascination for our cat. And when they were about to leave, Kennedy wanted to tell the cat goodbye. And so the cat was eating at the food bowl, and Kennedy knelt down and kissed her on the top of the head. And I didn't think a thing about it. It didn't worry me, because this cat is tamed. And I don't have to worry about turning my back. We don't have to worry that she's in the house with us. What's she going to do? Because she's been tamed. But James' point is, you might could do that with an animal, but you don't ever reach the point where you can turn your back on your tongue and say, it won't hurt me. I'm under control. I don't need to think about that. No man can tame the tongue. No man reaches the point where he no longer has to think about what he says. In that way, he says, it is a restless evil, verse 8, and full of deadly poison. The word restless means always able to break out. No matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been a Christian, it's always able to break out and bite us with its deadly poison. Because even in the most serene of circumstances, the most benign situations, like being here in the assembly, we can use our mouth to praise God and sing these great songs we've sung tonight and encourage one another. And then with that same mouth, with that same opening, speak against our brother and sister who James said has been created in the likeness of God. That's why there's trouble with the tongue. Because it can so easily make us hypocrites. Does a fountain, verse 11, send out from the same opening Think of the mouth of a river or body of water. Can a fountain send out of the same opening both fresh and bitter water? My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. And notice there's no exception in the text. For somebody who says, well, that's just how I am. I speak my mind. That's who I am. Or they need to hear this. They may not like it, but they need to hear this. No, how can you praise God and curse men with the same mouth? Trouble with the tongue. You can speak out of both sides. It's going to be a lifelong struggle. Discerning. When's the time to speak? And when's the time to be silent? Just as a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1 and verse 8. So it is a double-tongued man is unstable in all his ways. There have been times in my life where I've left a situation or I've thought back with a conversation and thought, I wish I had said something. But there are far more occasions where I'd look back and I thought, I wish I had just kept my mouth closed. David said it this way, set a guard over the door of my lips. Psalm 141 and verse 3. This is a door that more often than not needs to be closed, lest we have trouble with our tongue. The tongue God has given for praise, for confession, to speak the same thing that he speaks. What a wonderful use for your tongue tonight to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The tongue has been given for us to offer prayer and supplication and to encourage one another. What a wonderful use of the tongue that we could encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And one day, we will use our tongue. We see Him face to face. And throughout eternity, we will sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Let's not use God's great blessing to curse one another and to bring judgment on that final day. If we can assist you tonight in making your life right with the Lord, we're going to sing a song that will encourage you to come to Jesus tonight. He's calling, and we want to help right now while we stand up, while we sing.